I was looking to the Lord, and the Lord was giving me a message this week, and then last night, he changed it. At the last minute, it was so disturbing and distressing to me. You know, you like to have things kind of settled. And the Lord likes to unsettle us and cause us to be, to trust him more, be more dependent on him. And so the Lord changed it and gave me a different message. And so we trust that the Lord will help us to be able to bring it forth this morning. We want to turn to Matthew. We're going to spend time in Matthew, the 5th, 6th, and some of the 7th chapter, I think. Matthew 5, and we're going to read 44 and 45. It says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." As I was looking at this scripture, the Lord brought to me the fact that many times in our families, it used to be much more than nowadays, but it used to be that children would bring disgrace upon their family, that they would have do something that would not be exactly honest or right or get in some kind of trouble, and the family would be disgraced. It would be a disgrace to the father. And sometimes he would even, if he was a businessman or something, he might lose business over it. It was a very important way of that society acted. Used to act. Now it doesn't seem to have that effect anymore, but then it did. And to bring disgrace upon the father of the family. And I don't know about you, but there were times raising our family, and also, you know, when I was growing up, that I would hear the phrases, you know, don't do that, don't do this, or don't do that, because you're going to bring disgrace upon the family name. As if the family name was very, very important. And of course it is. You're the honesty, you know, you want your name when somebody hears your name. Oh, now that's a good family. That's an honest family. Those children are so good. That mother and father really care for their children. We still even have some of those things today. But what is happening is in our day and age is that it doesn't matter so much anymore. Nobody cares if they're bringing disgrace. Nobody cares if they're doing any of those things. They just want to do their own thing. They want to be what they want. They want it to everything to be in their on their side, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. And it's a very, very sad turn that our society has taken. Yeah. And I was thinking about when it says here to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now it says, then it goes on and it says that ye may be the children of your father. And that's the title of the message this morning, the children of your father. In other words, the children of our father. Our father. He is supposed to be our father. And when it's talking about love your enemies, because why? Because God loves his enemies, those that are against him, those that talk bad about him, those that reject him. He still loves them. And he still blesses, even when they curse him. And even the so many curses use God and Jesus' name in vain. And they're said That's over true. And over as if they're just common language. And yet he still blesses over the top of that. Do good to them that hate you. There are those that hate God. You know, they have some kind of a something has happened in their past or in their family. And so they feel like that they need to be, that they're upset and they hate God, and you know, what does he did, and what did he do, and what did he allow to happen in my family, and all these things. And but God isn't like that. He's not like that. It says, pray for them that use you and persecute you. They use you, literally take advantage of you and persecute you.
Help me, Lord. Yes.
I was thinking how that all of these things, we have an enemy, and they are cursing me. They hate me. They're using me. They're persecuting me. These are all excuses that we use for the way we act. We use these as excuses for the way we act towards people. And God, Jesus, right here is telling them, you can't do this because you're the children of your Father. You have to act like your Father would act. You know, we have that saying in the world, what would Jesus do? There's a reason for it, because we need to react and to do those things, especially about these kinds of things. We need to be able to look at our enemies and love them. We need to be able to bless even those that are cursing us and doing bad to us and all. And I was thinking about, and pray for them that hate you and despitefully use you, persecute you. And I was, my comes back to my mind about my neighbor out there in the country that thought we had killed some of her cats. And so she hated us. And she just would not hear that we hadn't done it. And got out there in the road and set up that sign and saying how my neighbors are awful. They've killed our cats, 27 of our cats and such. I didn't even know she had that many cats that had died. But anyway, the point being is they're persecuting it. She was stopping people on the road. She was stopping people on the road and they were asking for money to fight this evil. And it was awful. And I thought, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And all along the way, I would tell my husband when things were kind of getting bad, but it wasn't real bad yet. And I would tell him, I said, well, you know what? We just need to pray for them. We need to pray good down on them. We need to pray blessings down on them, because maybe if the Lord blesses them more, they will think less about, you know, persecuting and everything. But I was thinking how that we still loved them. We still prayed for them when the ambulance would show up in their yard at their door and we knew that one of them was not well or sick or something, you know, we would pray for them and all. This is the children of the Father. This is our Father. We don't want to bring disgrace on our Father's house. We're claiming his name. This is God. We're claiming his name. And what is happening all over the world is people that claim his name are bringing disgrace upon it. They're not living right. They're not doing right. I've heard people say that, oh yes, they're Christians and everything. And then you find out later they're living with a partner and they're not even married, but they're Christians. They're bringing disgrace upon our Father's name. And so God is wanting us to be careful about those things. If we want to be his, then we have to act the way he wants us to act. We have to do the way he wants. We have to think the way he thinks. We were talking this morning about how that salvation comes in and it changes us and makes us different and everything. This is the difference. This is the difference. We used to do these things. We couldn't love our enemies. We couldn't bless them that cursed us. We couldn't do any of those things. But now we can. With his help, we can. And we want to represent the Lord. There are so many people out there that don't have good fathers. There are a lot of people out there that don't have fathers that are in their lives at all, that their fathers have gone away and left them and they're not part of the family even. And all these things. There's a lot of places out there like that, a lot of homes like that, and that's the only representation they have of what a father is. Somebody that abandons you, somebody that doesn't love you, somebody that, you know, treats them bad or maybe is mean or abusive, that's the idea they have of father. We have to teach them what father is. We are the children of our father. As you go down in this, the next three verses, it says, "For if we love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, is perfect." And what it means by perfect, it means complete in mental and moral character. That's what it means when it says perfect. It doesn't mean you never make a mistake. It means that you're growing up, you're becoming mature, you're complete in mental, moral character. And I was thinking how God has this perfect attitude towards mankind. He loves them. He blesses them even when they're bad. Even though they hate him, he still rains on them. He still brings forth what they need. He sends rain and the sun still rises and things go on for them. We have to follow our Father. We have to prove that we have that kind of a mind to be what God wants us to be. And it says, there are those out in the world that love just their family. There are those out in the world that love just those that are good to them. There are those out in the world that if you're good to me, then I'm good to you. And if you're bad to me, though, I'm going to be bad back to you. That's their attitude. And they're showing forth their father. They're showing forth the enemy of our souls, that their father that is causing those kinds of things. And then they have this attitude in their heart, in their mind, and they're projecting who their father is. We want to project who our father is. We are children of the Most High God. We are children of our Father. So in Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4, we want to talk a little bit about some of the scriptures here that we are going to show that what our Father requires. In other words, why this is important to the Father. It says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly." As I was reading these scriptures, men want to be seen and recognized of other men. That is the goal in the earth, is to have other men worship you, glorify you, speak well of you. You want to have this good name out there of all of the, so to speak, quote unquote, important people. You want them to speak well of you. And this is talking, of course, about alms. In other words, giving alms or doing good, basically. Doing good, any kind of good, anything that you are doing exceptionally well. If you're doing exceptionally well at work and you are making more sales than anybody else makes sales and everything, the world wants to be recognized for that. So they have all of these awards and everything at the end of the month that, you know, this was the best salesperson and this was the best at this and this was the best at that. Because they're representing the company. Well, we don't want to take glory to ourselves out here in this world, this sinful, cursed world. We don't want to take glory to ourselves. Any good that we have comes from our Father. It's not ours. Anything that we're able to accomplish comes from our Father. It's not ours. To be the children of our Father, we do these things in secret. We're not looking for recognition. We're not looking for applause. We are looking for our God to what? See in secret and reward us openly. So people will say sometimes to you, well, it looks like, you know, everything goes the right way for you, or looks like, you know, the sun's always shining there, or what? They don't understand. Oh yes, we have things too. But because we don't seek, and we don't seek the applause of men, and we don't seek to do our alms to be seen and recognized and all, God rewards us in secret. And then what do? Then we tell all about it. We tell all about what God has done for us. We tell all about what he has blessed us with. We testify. We tell about it. This is a wonderful thing. To be the children of our Father, we cannot take recognition to ourselves. We cannot expect to be applauded. We can't expect for people to come around and say, oh, you're doing so good, and you're this and you're that. You will find anything that you do for the Lord and everything as we go along, you find out that more and more when people come by and they say, oh, that was such a good message. That was such a sweet song, or that was such a wonderful prayer. All those things, you start feeling a little funny about it. It doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel, you know, and then you realize, oh, it's because it's really the Lord. And so then you start saying things like, well, thank the Lord. And well, it was all the Lord, and the Lord blessed, and all these things, because we don't want to take the credit to ourselves. It's our Father. See, we're the children of the Father, and we don't take the credit to ourselves. We're his children. So down in the fifth verse, 5-8, we'll go on and read those scriptures. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Is this the kind of reward we want? When in all the things we do, even prayer, we want a prayer. We want somebody to notice we're praying. No, that isn't what we're after. But it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, in other words, don't all just go get alone. But when thou shut the door, in other words, when thou has gotten completely alone, when maybe nobody else even knows what is happening or what is going on, and you weep and cry out your prayers before God all alone, it seems if we're not careful, the devil will try to make us feel lonely as we weep out our prayers alone. But that isn't how we're supposed to feel. This scripture here tells us that when thou prayest, don't do it like other people do, out in the open, but go in your closet, shut the door, pray in secret. And then what is the promise? And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. The devil tries to make us feel like, oh, you're all alone and you're weeping and praying. He tries to put this feeling over us like of loneliness, aloneness, or whatever. And it's good to have prayer together. Of course it is. It's good to have when you're together with others and you pray together. That's a wonderful thing. But we have to have secret, private prayer. We have to get alone with God. He's our Father. Why wouldn't we want to be there? Many times, if you have a good father, you know, father comes home from work and all the children run to see him. They all want to hug him. They all want to grab a hold of his legs, and he tosses them in the air and wrestles with them a little bit or whatever. When you have a good father, you want to spend time with him. We have a very, very good Father, and we should want to spend time alone with him. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is petitioning God, seeking his face, seeking his will, trying to receive from him the very essence of what we need down deep in our souls. This is what prayer is about. And the devil attacks prayer. He attacks it. He doesn't want us to have those alone times. And he doesn't want us to go weeping before the Lord, because he knows that when God sees all of that in secret, he's going to reward us openly, and he doesn't like it. So he fights alone prayer. He fights you because he doesn't want you to have what the Father said you're going to have. He's going to see it and then reward you openly. You're going to get your reward. It says, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Vain repetitions. I saw a film once. It was a news clip. It was a news clip of children in a foreign country. And it was in a country where they teach a different religion. And they were all standing together and reciting what they were saying. They were all saying it together and reciting it and saying it over and over and over. And I was told on the person that was narrating it or talking about it, this news clip, it was that they were reciting their prayers. They're wide awake, looking up, you know, all the children are there together. They're saying it over and over and over. When you go into some, churches, they will have prayer books that you open up to page so-and-so, and we will say this prayer together. And they read off a prayer and they all say it together. See, that's vain repetition. How can that be? How can God get any glory out of that, that you just repeat something that somebody has written down? The Lord wants us to have spiritual prayers. He wants us to have a clearing in our minds and in our souls, that when we bring forth prayer to him, that it's unique and it's special, a special time between you and God, a special time. That's what he's after, not vain repetitions. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth that what things ye have need of before ye ask him. In other words, don't be like them, because God knows the things that you need even before you start praying. And when we open up our hearts and we pray and we bring things before God, God is not only pleased with us, but he is, his ear is inclined to us and he looks to us. He knows what we need before we kneel down. Sometimes we don't. We don't know what we need. And we get down and we start praying, and pretty soon maybe we're weeping out and we're saying, Lord, we need more, or Lord, I need more of this and I need more of that. And Lord, what can I do? And what this and that. God is pleased with that kind of prayer, that we're seeking him like we would a father, instead of feeling like we always know what to do and we always know what we should say. No, we don't. We don't always know. And God wants us to understand that he's right there, willing to help us at any time, just willing. He just wants us to kneel down and pray. And if all you can do is kneel down and groan, if all you can do is kneel down and weep, God hears the prayers of the heart. He hears what's going on inside. It says he knows before you ever come what your needs are. So sometimes we waste a lot of time trying to come up with exactly what we should say, trying to come up with all the words, and you run out of words. I remember when Sister Gwen was so sick, and we would go over there and we would pray for her, and we would stay, you know, maybe first, maybe hour, 2 hours, maybe, and before we would go home, and we would pray maybe several times, and this happened over lots of weeks. And I remember at one point thinking, Lord, and I remember praying out loud, right there with Sister Gwen, I said, Lord, I have prayed all I know to pray. You know what I'm saying? But God knew that there was more. He knew. I didn't have to come up with it. I didn't have to say it. He already knew. And I just acknowledged to him, I've said all I know to say. I have prayed everything I know to pray. And we still just need you here. We just still need you to answer. We are the children of the Father. Our prayers have to be different than the people out there. The people out there that pray much, but do not represent the Father very well. You know, they can make some long, beautiful, whatever prayers. They can say all the right words. It's almost like they make a study of it or something. And sometimes we can feel like our words are kind of halting and we can't get the right word. And it's almost like we have to dig and dig and dig. Oh, that's the word. And we come up with the word and our prayers don't maybe just flow smooth and everything. But God, we are the children of the Most High God. We are the children that we might be the children of our Father. Fathers don't expect their children to be able to converse with them at the same level that they are. Fathers don't expect them to be able to put all their sentences right and all say all the big words and be able to describe everything perfectly. Fathers don't expect that. Do you know our Heavenly Father doesn't expect it either? We are the children of our Father. We are not doing vain, repetitious prayers. We are not just praying because it's time. We are not just praying, but we are seeking with our heart more than just our words. We're seeking with our heart. We're just getting alone with Him. And if it's crying or if it's groaning, whatever it is, if it's just bowing in silence and saying that you don't even know what to say, but you just feel a need to be alone with Him. See, that's representing the Father. We're not to do it like the world does it, like all the ones out there that aren't representing Him properly. We are to do it like we do it, like we do it with our Father. If we have just three sentences to say, like on our public prayer meeting nights, if we have just three sentences, those three sentences mean everything to God. They mean everything to Him. And He will reward you for your effort to join in public prayer in our prayer meeting. I was so thankful when we had our thank and praise meeting, how that everybody prayed. Everybody thanked God. Everybody, you know, brought forth a testimony of some kind. It was so blessed. It was so blessed. They weren't long. There weren't a lot of long ones. There weren't a lot of anything that was long, but it was heartfelt and it was precious to Him. And do you know, He came behind that and He rewarded us openly for it. He rewarded us for our halting words, our tears, our maybe not being able to say it just right. He rewarded us because He's the Father. And if we want to be the children of the Father, that is what is so important to us. All right, moving on to Matthew 6, 19 and through 21. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It has always been a temptation for people of the earth to collect the valuables of the earth. All of us like pretty things. All of us like nice things. There's nothing wrong with pretty or nice things. But if we begin to dwell on it, and if we begin to feel it takes up more of our space and more of our time than it should, then it's getting out of hand, where our treasures are not being laid up in heaven. They're being laid up on earth. I have known people that didn't want you to come to their home because everything wasn't just right. They didn't want you to, oh, they couldn't open up their spare bedroom to somebody because they had boxes or something stacked up in the corner. And so it wouldn't be nice enough, but yet it was a bed. You see what I'm saying? God wants us to be his children that offer beds and offer rooms and whatever, you know, what we need to do and how we need to do it to help people from time to time or even during camp meeting or whatever we have. Treasures on earth. Some people are so wrapped up in the treasures here. Oh, I can't take anybody in my car. My car is not good enough, or it's not comfortable enough, or it's not this, or it's a ride. It's a ride. Don't lay up treasures here on earth, but lay up your treasures in heaven. In other words, okay, it's nice to have some nice things around us here, but we better be laying up some treasures that will make it all the way to heaven, because we can't take any of these treasures of earth with us. These things here, we can't take. We can't take these. We cannot take these things with us. We have to have the treasures that we take with us have to be in us. They're in us. We have to lay up some treasures in us. We have to love the word. Oh, dear ones, we have to love to read and pray. I'm telling you, the devil fights the most against us for reading and praying, because that's where we're going to lay up our treasures. It's where we're going to make it. It's where we're going to lay up our treasures, is to read the word and apply it to our life, to pray and get the strength and the changes and the comfort and the everything that we need, the grace through prayer. This is what makes us his children. Because we don't do it like the world does it. We don't stack up things around us and consider our lives full. But we have to stack up things inside of us. Our treasures have to be stacked up and being put to use inside of us. And that's where our treasure is. What God has done for the inside of our souls. That's our treasure. God, it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, you can see where people's treasures are. You know, you see cars going down the street and you see some of these fancy, big, huge, expensive cars, and you know where their treasure is. You know where it is. Treasures. Even some of our poorest people, they want that good phone, right? They want that good cell phone. They can't afford hardly to get anything, maybe, and I'm not trying to be disparaging in any way, but maybe they're on food stamps and they have all this, they have different things that they're, you know, needing help with, but they've got that good phone. Why? It's a treasure here. It's a treasure. The children now, if they're in school, if they don't have a cell phone by the time they're about 6, 7 years old, they feel like they're deprived. They're deprived of everybody else has one. These treasures here. It used to be that people would gather around in their homes at night, spend time with their families, and they would talk and discuss and talk about things that were happening, and there would be a lot of teaching and understanding and all, but you don't have that anymore. People are all divided up. When I go and visit people in their houses, family, friends, whatever, they're all tied up. They could be sitting right there with you, but nobody's talking to anybody. Nobody's talking with each other. They're all just on the phone. They're all just... See, that's where their heart is. Their heart isn't even to hold conversations. I have seen people texting each other, sitting in the same room. They're sitting in the same room. Their treasure, see, it's how they're neglecting the real treasure. which is the personal relationships that you have with people. And they're neglecting all of that to have this fake relationship on a phone. And it's so sad. We need to be different than that. When people are in our homes and when we're visiting another people's homes, we need to stay off our phones. We need to put them down. We need to make those people important. Because see, that's the real treasure. It's the people that are the real treasure, not the things. A lot of people, they're on their phones. They're not even, a lot of times, even talking with anybody important. They're looking at funny cat videos. I mean, they've got real people sitting there in the same room with them and they're looking at cat videos. What's important? See, what's important? What's in their heart? What's the treasure in their heart? To be constantly entertained and amused and all these things, because they don't realize that people actually do that. That we can have relationships with people and have that. God wants us to have relationships with people, not with these things on the earth. He wants us to show our love, our concern. He wants us to talk to people and converse with people. He wants us to tell our story. How are you ever going to give a testimony when nobody in the room will talk with you? How can you give out a testimony? Lord, help us. The 24th chapter of Matthew 6. No man can serve two masters, for whether he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have two fathers. You know what I'm saying? Now, I had two fathers as I was growing up. I had my real father that was not in the picture anymore. And then I had a stepfather. But do you know, I couldn't love them the same. They were not the same. You know, it wasn't the same. I would want to treat them exactly, but I couldn't because there were two. How can you do that? You're either going to hold to one or hold to the other, or you're going to despise one or despise the other. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to represent our Father. We need to represent him. He is a good Father, and he wants to give us all good things. And he says, don't take thought for these things, what you're going to eat and drink, how you're going to be clothed. What do we have out there? We have so many stores selling clothes, so many stores selling meat, drink, don't we? On every corner, we have more and more and more of them. But you know what's closing? Bible bookstores. Those kind of places, they're closing. You know what's closing? Churches. What's getting smaller and less people going? Churches. Do we see a pattern here? Bigger and better malls, bigger and better everything, to where you go out and you, what are you doing? You're saying, I can take care of myself. I'll figure out what I'm going to eat. If I don't feel like this, I'll go and get this at the store, or I'll go get that, or whatever. I'll do how I feel. And your heavenly Father says, don't be thinking about these things. These are not the most important things. These are things that the Gentiles seek, the sinners seek. These are the things that they're after. God knows you have need of these things, but first seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. you know, there are certain shopping days, like what they used to call, now they have Black Friday almost every day, going up to Thanksgiving and after and everything else. But it used to be Black Friday, you know, right after. And oh, it was the shopping day. If you went out on that day, woo, you couldn't hardly, you long lines at the registers, the stores are just full. And people will go out and spend all day, stand in lines, be there early in the morning, in the middle of the night, come and camp out. So they're the first one in the store because they know there's only going to be so many of these items and they want to be there first. When was the last day you spent a whole day with God? You'll spend a whole day shopping. People will spend a whole day shopping. When was the last day you set aside a whole day for God and just said, you know what? This day is dedicated to you. It's just for you, Lord. It's just for you. You and me. We'll just sing and we'll pray and we'll read all day, Lord. Just you and me, Lord. And it doesn't mean that you have to give up what you're doing. In other words, people have to work and everything. But what it is, it's that all the spare moments. Okay, I have to do this, you know, writing, or I have to be talking to this person because I'm in the store and I have to wait on customers or whatever. But the in-between times, do you just spend it all with the Lord? No, people pull out their phones. Or they, you know, go find something to eat. Or they, you see what I'm saying? You can spend. Is your Father's kingdom the most important? Are you the real children of your Father? He has this kingdom. And we're all going there someday. I was thinking about it the other day, and I was thinking, what will it be like? Everybody there that you talk to is interested, and they're interesting. And when you talk to them and you compare maybe stories, you tell about things that you learned, you tell about God in your life. Everybody is so interested. There isn't anybody in the room that is not interested in what is being said. What a place that will be. Because now, you know, we're stifled. You know, not everybody's interested. Some people will walk away. Some people will say, don't talk to me about that. It's what we want to talk about, but they don't want to talk about it. And so you find yourself having all this, doing all this small talk. Lord, help us. If we want to be the children of our Father, we're going to have to put first the kingdom of God. We're going to have to put it first if we're going to be his children. Because otherwise, we're going to be wayward children. We're going to be making mistakes all the time. We're going to be doing things all the time that are not quite right. Because we aren't putting any time or effort into it. It's like I want to fill up my day with this and with that, but I don't want to spend a whole lot of time with the Lord. And then this last half hour before I go to bed, I want to get down and pray and read and devote this half hour to him. And do you ever notice how that you can't do it? Have you ever noticed how hard it is that when you've set about this half hour and this interrupts or that interrupts, or you're tired and you're sleepy, or you're this or that, or it doesn't seem interesting, or your mind keeps wandering and everything, because you carved out this little place for him. He has to fit all of himself in this little place for you, because you didn't give him very much space today. You didn't give him a whole lot. You just gave him this little space in the morning, little space at night. The rest of the day, I did what I wanted. I thought what I wanted. I took care of what I wanted. I didn't really consult with him and be with him through the day like a child does a father. A child, if they have a good father, they try to get his attention all day. You know, every time they go and do something and they do a cartwheel or somersault on the grass and they say, Daddy, Daddy, did you see that? Did you see me do it? And if the father says, no, I didn't see it, they'll repeat it. They want him to see it. What do you want? In other words, are you coming to your father trying to get his attention all day? Just trying to get him, you know, his attention or you just presume upon his attention. You just presume he's going to be there and he's going to take care of it. Oh, Lord, help us today. We spend the better part of our days seeking the physical and less of the spiritual. But do you know when you are doing the physical, God knows. See, he knows. This is the thing. God knows all about the things we have to do and the duties we have to do. He knows all about them. But you know what else he knows? He knows every spare minute you have that you could have devoted to him. Now, I wonder if we'd like for the Lord to tally us up at the end of the day. Wonder if we'd like to have a big blackboard. It might be very enlightening, actually. We had a big blackboard in our room, and at the end of the day, the Lord tallies up all the minutes we spent doing all the needful things that are necessary, not talking about unnecessary, necessary things, and how many minutes and how much time we spent in meditating on him, praying to him, speaking to him, singing to him, reading his word, praying for others. Because there's a lot of our physical duties that we can do and do all that too. So those would overlap on that list that he would put up there. They would overlap because, oh, well, she was doing the dishes, but the whole time she was singing to me. See? The Lord wants us to not just seek the physical. It's not about that. It is about seeking the kingdom first. Because when all of the other things are added, it's going to be so good. During this time that we are separated, and during this time that we are separated even from other people in the world, and it's just, it is a bothersome time. But God sent it. He sent it for good. His people can be blessed during this time. They can be blessed because they don't depend on the physical. They don't depend on the physical for their happiness and for their, they depend on the spiritual life. And the spiritual life can't be touched by COVID or restrictions of any kind. But what we find is, this is what we find. We have been depending so much on the physical, being able to meet together, being able to be together and worship together and see each other and everything, that we haven't been as diligent as we needed to be on our own in between times. We depended on the physical meeting. And so now we feel grief and sorrow because we can't meet together. Why? Because our own spiritual life is not built up to the place it needs to be for us to just carry on. What happened with Peter in the prison? It didn't change anything, did it? Think about it. Singing and praises to God in prison. Being in prison in stocks didn't change anything. Restriction didn't change anything in his spiritual life. His spiritual life was the most important thing. And he was exercising in it. He was protecting it. He was doing everything he needed to do. So when he got restricted, beat, put in prison, it didn't change anything. He was still able to praise God and carry on. You didn't see him in there weeping and crying and, oh Lord, what's going to happen and everything. Lord, help us. We've got to cultivate the spiritual side of our life, seeking the kingdom of God first. It has to, you have to spend more time with the Lord. You have to, as particularly as we see the day approaching, the end of time approaching, Jesus is coming, approaching, because the Bible plainly tells us it's going to get worse and worse. And if we don't start cultivating it now, we're not going to have a mind good enough to cultivate with by the time, because the evils are so many and so around us and so, well, in our hand every day. All the evils that are available out there in the world are in your hand every day. And most people spend more time with that instrument in their hand than they spend with people or with God. They spend more time with it. Lord, help us. Matthew 7:7 through 11 says, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Oh, dear ones, we've got to ask the Lord for the good things. I realize we don't always know what the good things are. We don't know. We don't know what we should be asking for many times. There are many things we do understand and know. We pray for and ask for salvation for our children. That's a good thing. That's a good thing to ask for. It's a wonderful thing. But God, he says, if you'll ask, I'll give it. You ask in this time, ask, Lord, give me a mind. Give me a mind to seek your kingdom first. Give me a mind to pray. Give me a mind to read more. He said that if we ask, he said we could have, if we seek, we'll find. In other words, we just don't ask one day and it didn't work out so well, and so we don't ask the next day. No, we just keep seeking. We keep coming. We keep coming back. We're seeking something. You lose some money, you look everywhere. You look everywhere if you lose some money. You know, you'll look under this and that and here and there. I remember Sister Shannon not too long ago lost something, and they looked and looked, and finally one of her children found it somewhere. Isn't that what we do? You want the keys to your car? Listen, you want people to really search and look? Let them lose their phone. They'll seek and look. They will look everywhere. They will call their neighbors. They will call their friends. They will call the stores they were in. They will do anything to get it back. So what are we asking? What are we seeking with the Lord? You have to keep coming back. It says knock, keep knocking until it's opened unto you. Keep knocking till it's opened. People, they pray about something once or twice, and then it doesn't seem to be working, and they kind of get discouraged, and they don't think about it anymore, and they go to praying for something else. No, keep knocking. If you feel like your prayer life is not what it should be, keep asking for the Lord to increase it every day. Keep asking. Ask it every time. Don't give up. Don't give up on wanting to be able to read the Bible and it be so interesting you can't hardly put it down. You know, anybody that's a reader and they read a good book, they can't hardly put it down. They want to see what happens. They want to see where it's going. Well, that's what the Bible is. And when you can get into it personally for yourself, sometimes we read it as a generalized book. It's not. It's a personal book for you. It's a personal letter to you. You read it for you. This is God talking to you personally. If you were the only person in the world, he would still have this book just for you. This is the Father. Ask, seek, knock, because you're going to get because your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. He'll give them. He'll give them. But you know what? We have such short attention spans. We can't hardly pray for anything for a week before we've moved on to something else, or our mind's distracted over here, or distracted over there. We can't hardly seem to keep things in our mind for hardly any time at all. This is the age we're living in, and we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to keep seeking and keep knocking and keep asking till we receive what we're after. God wants us to have it. When we see things in our lives, when we're his children and we see things, listen, when we were little children, we had a good father and we saw we had a need of some kind, we would run to Father and say, can I have this? Or this is why I need it. And we would explain all about it, why we needed it so bad. And he would take the time to explain why you needed it or why you didn't need it, whatever. This is our Father. We, if we're going to be the children of our Father, not only do we have to act right and do right and represent him and not bring shame upon his name in this earth, but we have to treat him like a father. We can't just treat him as some stranger that we talk to once in a while. No, we have to treat him like a father. We have to treat him with love, and we have to treat him with praise and thanksgiving and all, and show our love for him. I'm afraid that God feels very unloved much of the time. And I wonder sometimes if he feels, if we have days in our experience where God just feels very unloved with us today. He doesn't feel like he's loved very much at all. Lord, help us. We are the children, that we might be the children of our Father, that we act right, we do right, we represent him right, we don't bring shame upon his name, and we seek him.
Amen.
All the time, we seek him. Lord, help us. I thank the Lord this morning for his goodness. And I thank the Lord for him helping me to be able to do this. I appreciate it. You know, I had to pray. I had to ask the Lord. Yes, I had to seek him. I had to say, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I don't know how to do this. So,
amen.
Very, very thankful for what he has done. And we just need to, allow God to be our Father, and we need to respect him like our Father, and we need to seek him like a good Father, spend time with him, try to get his attention all day. It would be very good. Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise God. I surely appreciate